إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no deity, no God, no object of worship, worthy of worship, in truth, other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, and created from that soul its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a Raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the truth in order that He may correct your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'd. Certainly, the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion, and every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Inshallah ta'ala, today we're going to break our program and change the topic, inshallah ta'ala, to that of al-ikhlas, or sincerity. Our class, Purification of the Souls, or Tazkiyatun Nufus, we like to deal with that which will purify our souls and clean our hearts to allow us to be among those people who meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart. Those are the people who will be successful on the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Resurrection, on the last day, are the people who meet Allah with a pure heart. Today was the day that we were supposed to continue with 64 ways to get to Jannah, but we're going to let today's topic be al-ikhlas. We're going to let today's topic, inshallah ta'ala, be al-ikhlas, because for myself, first and foremost, I need a reminder. And then, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَىٰ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind them, because reminder benefits the believers. Many times when we stand up here in front of you or sit down in front of you to teach our lessons, many of you think that the brother, mashallah, went overseas, got the knowledge, he's coming back to give us the knowledge. This knowledge isn't like that. When I went over there to study, I got it. I'm good, I'm over, I'm straight. But y'all, inshallah, will work with y'all. But that this knowledge of Islam, the knowledge of this religion, is for all of us. The one speaking and the one listening. I gotta meet Allah just like you do. I need a reminder, just like everybody else. Inshallah ta'ala, the subject of al-ikhlas, I need to remind myself of, and I want to make it as a reminder to the brothers, and it's not a lesson for the people who are not, it's not a reminder for. There are many verses in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that deals with the issue of al-ikhlas. We just want to take a look at a few of those from the finest speech, the book of Quran, or the book of the Quran, or the book of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Yunus, verses number 104 to 106, after I say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem, Allah says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي شَكٍّ مِّن دِينِي فَلَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنْ أَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَنْ أَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ ولا تدع من دون الله ما لا ينفعك ولا يضرك فإن فعلت فإنك إذا من الظالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Surah of Yunus, as we're going to use inshallah ta'ala the translation of Marcel Khan, Allah tells us as translated 104 to 106 to Yunus. Say, O mankind, if you are in doubt as to my religion, my deen, then know that I will never worship those whom you worship besides Allah. But I worship Allah who causes you to die. I am commanded to be of the believers. And it's in parentheses, it is inspired to me, direct your faith entirely towards the religion Hanifan, the Islamic monotheism, to worship, i.e. to worship none but Allah alone. And direct your faces entirely towards the religion of Islam, the religion Hanifan. And never to be one of the mushrikun, those who ascribe partners with Allah. And invoke not beside Allah. And worship not besides Allah any that will neither profit you nor hurt you. But if in case you did so, you shall certainly be among the zalimin. And the zalimin are the polytheists and the wrongdoers. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we should tell the people who worship other than Allah, as for us, we only worship Allah. As for us, we only worship Allah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us sincerity. Not to just tell the people in a lip service type of way, but to tell the people we're not a part of that shirk that you're a part of, but we worship Allah. Not to please that person by the statement, but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we are doing it sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah. And this is why Allah has commanded us to turn our faces to Him, Hanifan. To this religion, we have to turn our faces to this religion, being sincere in this religion of Islam. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Az-Zumar, in the first verses, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم إنا أنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق فاعبد الله مخلصا له الدين ألا لله الدين الخالص. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in these verses of Surah Al-Zumar, this book is a revelation from Allah Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. Al-Aziz, the mighty, Al-Hakim, the wise. Certainly we have revealed this to you, this book to you in truth. So worship Allah sincerely in this religion. So worship Allah sincerely in this religion. Isn't sincerity in the religion for Allah alone? Isn't sincerity in this religion for Allah alone? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Quran is commanding us to be sincere, because this religion is about sincerity. And no one's religion will be accepted from him except that he has sincerity in his Islam, in his religion. Nothing that you can do in worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're not doing it sincerely and solely for His sake, then that thing that you're doing won't be accepted from you from the beginning of the Shahada on down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in the same surah, but verse number 11, Surah Az-Zumar, قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. Say, Allah commands us to say, indeed, I have been commanded to worship Allah sincerely in this religion. Allah commands all of us to say that we have been commanded to worship Allah sincerely in this religion, because this religion is based on sincerity. As we're going to see in a hadith that's coming on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ghafir, the next surah, number 40, ayah number 14, فَادْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. I command you to worship Allah in this religion, to be obedient to Allah sincerely, even if the kafirun dislike it. Even if the disbelievers like it, we have been ordered to do this, to do this obedience to Allah and this religion sincerely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that same surah, verses number 65 to 67, والحي لا إله إلا هو فادعوه مخلصين له الدين الحمد لله رب العالمين قل إني نهيت أن أعبد الذين تدعون من دون الله لما جاءني البينات من ربي وأمرت أن أسلم لرب العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in these two verses, هو الحي, and he is الحي. And الحي is one of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means the ever living, the one that will never die. He is الحي, لا إله إلا هو. There is no deity worthy of worship other than him. الحي. So worship him sincerely in this religion. Worship him sincerely in this religion. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Say, I have been prohibited to worship those who you call on besides Allah when clear proofs have come to me from my Lord, and I have been commanded to submit to the Rabbil Alameen. And I have been commanded to submit to Allah, Lord of all the world. Here in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he has in other verses, he's commanding us to be sincere to him in this religion. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended the last verse off with saying, and I have been commanded to submit to the Lord of all the world. And this is what we're going to point at, inshallah ta'ala, that this sincerity that we have been commanded to have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this deen, we have to submit with that sincerity. It wasn't enough, isn't enough, and will never be enough. Sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have seen in this verse, in these verses, he has commanded us to be sincere in this religion. But as he also added in this last verse, and inshallah ta'ala, we're going to explain in more detail, that sincerity has to be coupled with submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sincerity wasn't enough, isn't enough, and will never be enough by itself without submission to Allah, Lord of all the world. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll explain that when we finish reading the hadith of the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith that has been collected by Bukhari and Muslim, إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in this famous hadith that many of the ulama felt the Prophet to begin their books off with this hadith to show that they have not written their books except on sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they have not written their books except on sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this person, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah had began his book off with this hadith. His book of the Sahih hadith, he began it with this one. And Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah used to begin his book off with this hadith also, as he had began the book off that we know as the 40 hadith by Imam al-Nawawi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, actions are by intention. I'm not the best translator, but we're doing our best. Actions are by intention, and everyone has what he intended, and for everyone is what he has intended. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us in this hadith that we have to have sincere intention in whatever we do, because whatever we do, we're going to be rewarded according to the intentions that we had and that thing that we do. If we did it, and we're going to explain that inshallah ta'ala, if we did something for Allah's sake sincerely and solely for him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward that person. But if another person does the same thing that person did sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he did not do it sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his reward isn't from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actions are by their intention, and you only get what you intend. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in this next hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَنْظِرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ صُورِكُمْ ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. And this hadith has been collected by Imam Muslim with the Prophet of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, indeed Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at your body. Allah doesn't look at your body or at your shape. And here, let's just make a point that though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa is saying that Allah won't look at our bodies and our shape, doesn't mean that we shouldn't do our best to stay in shape, as we have been a little negligent in that issue so far. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has encouraged us to take care of our bodies and to be in good shape, as he says in another authentic hadith, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. And this is important for certain brothers. وفي كل خير. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the strong believer is better and more loved by Allah than the weak believer. But in all of them is good. In all of the believers is good. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala will not look at your body or your shape. Rather, He will look at your heart and at your deeds. Is that heart pure? Is that heart sincere? Is that heart filled with good intentions? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at your actions. Are those actions in accordance with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Many ayahs in the Quran and many ahadith in the sunnah call us to sincerity and having good intentions before doing whatever we do. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this last hadith, إن الله كتب الحسنات والسيئات ثم بين ذلك فمن حم بحسنة فلم يعملها كتب الله تبارك وتعالى عنده حسنة كاملة وإن هم بها فعملها كتبها الله عشر حسنات إلى 700 ضعف. To many, many good deeds for that person, depending on how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His generosity wants to give that person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, and whoever intends to do a bad deed but doesn't do it, Allah ta'ala will write down for him one good deed. Whoever intends to do a bad deed but doesn't do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write down for him one good deed. And whoever intends to do a bad deed and does it, then Allah will write down for him one bad deed. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us of the generosity of Al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Kareem, or the generous, is being generous to us by allowing us to be rewarded just for intending to do a good deed. And then if we actually do that good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reward us from 10 to 700 to how many other good deeds He wants to reward us for. Or how much blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His generosity wants to shower on us for intending to do a good deed and then doing that good deed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, and this is the point that we wanted to mention, that he's showing whoever intends to do a good deed, whoever is sincere, sincerely wants to do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person will be rewarded for that good, sincere intention to do something. Because this deen is, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, a deen of nasiha. the zeal of sincerity or sincere advice. However, we were trying to make mention that though this zeal is based on sincerity, and each and every one of us has to be sure that every single belief that he holds, and every statement that comes out of his mouth, and every action that he performs, every act of worship that he does, has to be done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah has commanded us to say that we have been ordered to worship Allah sincerely in this religion. But we were making mention that sincerity by itself hasn't been enough, isn't enough, and will never be enough. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was motioning to after he had told us to worship him sincerely in this religion. He said, and to say that I have been commanded to submit to the Lord of all the world. This sincerity that we have in our hearts has to be coupled with submitting to Allah, Lord of all the world. Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, sent his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger to humanity, as Allah's last messenger to humanity, with the religion of Allah in its final and complete form, the religion of Islam. That sincerity we have, when we express it in our belief, when we express it on our tongue, when we express it with our body parts and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to make sure that that sincerity is coupled with according to the religion of Allah. And that is being in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah as understood and practiced by the Sahaba and the people that followed them in that practice and in that understanding. And this is also what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pointing to when we mentioned that hadith, rather Allah looks at your heart, your intentions, your sincerity, and your actions. Because no deed will ever be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no statement and no belief until it fulfills those two conditions that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is motioning at. Firstly and foremost, something has to be done sincerely and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then secondly, to be in accordance with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the religion of al-Islam. Anyone who meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a belief, with a statement or a deed that does not fulfill these two conditions, then he should know that that deed will never be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts that which is done sincerely and solely for his sake and in accordance with his religion. If we have someone who's doing something sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, but not in accordance to the religion of Allah, that deed won't be accepted. Just as a person who does something in accordance with the religion of Allah, but he doesn't do it sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, it will never be accepted of him. It will never be accepted of him. To have our deeds accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have to fulfill these two conditions. If you have one or the other, you can't expect your deed to be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except according to that which you brought to Allah. Either this or that, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pointing to when he said, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. When the Prophet ﷺ told us the actions are by intention and that a person only has what he has intended, the Prophet ﷺ went on to explain that whoever made hijrah to Allah and His Messenger, then his hijrah is to Allah and His Messenger. Meaning, whoever performed his hijrah sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance with the religion that Rasulullah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, and that hijra is to Allah and His Messenger, meaning with the reward. Meaning with the reward. If you did it sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah in accordance with this religion, then when you meet Allah, you will be rewarded likewise. But whoever has made his hijra for worldly purposes, to get a piece of this dunya, or to marry a lady, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to marry a lady because of the fact that of this dunya, of the dunya, the part that the people like to get most is that lady. And he would go to extents to get her. His hijra will be what he made hijra for. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the knowledge to understand the issue of hijra, and give us the iman in our hearts to believe in it, and that it will never end until the day of judgment. And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us strong enough to make hijra from the land of the mushrikeen to the land of the muslimin. Ameen. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to teach us that sincerity has to be coupled with the accordance, or be in accordance with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points to that in many verses in the Quran. Points to these two conditions that we have to have for each and every belief and statement and deed that we do, in order that it be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah ta'ala tells us in the last verse, in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter number 18, verse number 110. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, rather He tells the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically, say, I am only a human being just like you are, and it has been revealed to me from my Lord that your Lord, your deity, your object of worship is one object of worship, one God and one deity. So whoever desires to meet his Lord, then let him do righteous deeds and don't ascribe any partners in worship with his Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this last part of the verse when he says, so let him do righteous deeds and don't ascribe any partners in worship with his Lord. Those righteous deeds, as explained by the ulama of Islam, they are those deeds that are done in accordance with the religion of Islam. Those are the deeds that are in accordance with the religion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. That religion of Al-Quran and Sunnah. A righteous deed is a deed that is done in accordance with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the second condition that has to be fulfilled of these two conditions, in order for someone's deed to be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next part of the ayah, and don't ascribe any partners in worship with your Lord, with his Lord. That is referring that each deed that is done in accordance with this religion has to be done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, and not for anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the two conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for humanity to fulfill in order to have their belief, their statement, and their actions acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to be sincere, commands us to believe, to make our statement, and to worship Him sincerely and solely for His sake. However, He has not left it at that. not in the past, not right now, and not in the future, but he has coupled that sincerity with accordance with the religion of Islam, that which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, making it two conditions and not one condition for someone's deed, belief, or statement to be acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many verses that explain that, like this verse, which is the first or the second verse, excuse me, of Surah Al-Mulk, where Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. The one who created death and life in order that he test you, who is best in his deed. And the ulama have explained that who is best in his deed, meaning whose deeds are done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coupled with being in accordance with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is best in deed? Meaning who is the one that will make his deed, belief, and statement both sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah and in accordance with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah goes on to say, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ, and he is the mighty, the forgiving. This verse, and there are many verses in the Quran where the ulama used to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it conditional upon us that if we want our deeds, our beliefs, and our statements to be acceptable in the sight of Allah, that we have to fulfill those two conditions, and that one without the other isn't enough. We have to be sincere, and that's first and foremost. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to be sincere. He commands us to do things sincerely and solely for his sake. He is the Lord of all the world. We have to make sure that our beliefs, our statements, and our deeds are sincerely and solely for Allah's sake. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't made that enough, is not making it enough, and will never make it enough for our deeds to be accepted until they're coupled with being in accordance with his religion, al-Islam, the religion of the Quran and the Sunnah, that which Rasulullah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to humanity. These two conditions, and we're drawing it out and being slow at it to make sure that this principle is always with us. And it's a principle that should never be overlooked. And this is why we said that we wanted to use this as a reminder. Because at times here in America we get so busy with doing things that sometimes we forget that sincerity. And then sometimes, because of our eagerness and our dedication to this religion of Islam, we become overly sincere and we forget making it in accordance with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah ta'ala, this is a good reminder for myself and for the believers that we have to be very careful that every single thing that we believe in, every single thing that we say, and every single thing that we do, if we desire it to be acceptable in the sight of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to make sure it fulfills these two conditions. Firstly, being sincerely and solely done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then secondly, being done in accordance with his religion. This is the reminder that we wanted to bring here today of sincerity, that it can't be left alone. It has to be coupled with this, being in accordance with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's in the deen and outside of the deen, if there's such thing as being outside of the deen. For lack of better ways to express it, these principles have to be applied in our lives. When we're looking at the deen, and I mean specifically in acts of belief or statements of dhikr and dua, acts of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to make sure that it's in accordance with this, with these two conditions. That it fulfills these two conditions. As that's primary to us
our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. So that worship, and worship specifically, belief, statement, and action-wise, we have to be very careful that we fulfill these two conditions if we want it to be accepted in the sight of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, as Allah has explained in this Quran, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained in this authentic sunnah. This also has to be a principle, or these conditions we have to keep in mind in our everyday lives too. We have to keep these conditions in our minds in our everyday lives too. And this is why we wanted to make this reminder. Some brothers have come to me to ask me to be the principal of the school. I know for a fact, and anybody who knows me and knows my qualifications, know I'm the last person to be qualified for that position. It could have been cool for me to say, Alhamdulillah, you want to offer me all of that money and that position, I can go for it, knowing that I'm incompetent. Say, you know, give it my best shot. I'm sincere, inshallah. I want to help Islam. I want to help that school. Go ahead. But it's been on my mind that I know that that sincerity ain't enough. Wasn't enough and will never be enough. But that sincerity has to have some type of accordance with it. You have to be competent if you're going to do something. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, كتب الله الإحسان على كل شيء. Allah has made perfection for everything. When we do something, we have to be sincere, of course. We have to do everything. We have to have that sincerity in it. But also we have to be sure that we can do that thing the way it's supposed to be done. And that in the dunya is what we're trying to point to, as opposed to the deen, is being competent. In the deen, we were saying, in accordance with the religion of Allah. And of course, everything is the deen, and everything has to be in accordance with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I hope that the point that I'm trying to make when I'm saying outside of the deen and being competent is taking that place of being in the deen and the being in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah. Inshallah, that point is being made clear. Outside of that deen, for lack of better term, we have to be sincere, but we got to be competent too. That eagerness, that dedication, that sincerity is good. It got to be there. We can't make it without it. But it wasn't enough, and it ain't enough, and it will never, ever be enough. Just like in the deen. When you worship in Allah, you can't be like some Christian. Lost on another path. You know, Bali, talking about your sincere. Oh, God, please give me. Oh, Jesus. Whatever they be saying. La ilaha illallah. Astaghfirullah, la ilaha illallah. Wal hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. Those deviant believers, maybe sometimes when we look at them, our parents, our grandparents, they seem to have that sincerity in them, that dedication in them, that humbleness and that goodness about them. But when we're kind and gentle and bringing this religion of Islam to them and they don't accept it, they don't couple that sincerity, that dedication, that eagerness they have to please their Lord with all of us. And we have to see that if we feel that we're competent to do something, and it's coupled with that sincerity and that dedication and the hard work and everything, then we should continue that way. But if it's not like that, then we have to share another path of being competent and sincere and that one without the other wasn't enough, isn't enough, and will never be enough. I'm not trying to hint at anybody in this room or anybody who's not in this room, but we wanted to make this as a reminder to all of us. We come to the masjid to learn the religion of Islam so that we can walk out the door of the masjid and practice the religion of Islam. When we call the people to Islam, we always remind them it's a total way of life. Is it? Yaqi is a whole way of life. This ain't just a religion. Islam covers every aspect of your life. Then when we get to our lives, we're going to be the last people to put Islam in every aspect. We're going to put something there and leave out something and think that it's okay. Just like it ain't okay in the deen, it ain't okay outside of the deen, because Allah has written perfection for everything. Everything that we do, we have to keep it in mind. And it's good that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who doesn't speak on his own desires, only speaks on revelation revealed to him, that he told us this hadith to make it clear to us that we have any doubts that this sincerity and being in accordance was only an act of worship, but when it comes to real life, we can just slacken up and just use sincerity, or we can slacken up and just use the qualifications. I'm qualified, okay? In the back of my mind, I'm telling my wife and my family, no, get paid. Get this money. No, do our thing. They got their problem, that's them. Let them deal with it. As for us, we got to deal with us. But so long as the people see I'm qualified, go out there and knock that money out. Even though I ain't really about helping them out, or I ain't out there for the betterment of nobody but me and my family. We can't have this type of attitude. Nor can we have the attitude, I'm dedicated, I'm sincere, I'm hardworking, I'm doing my best. I'm the last person qualified. Who are we trying to fool? The people? Whoever in this room wants to fool somebody among us, he's over. I'll tell you. You want to fool me, you're good. How can I catch everybody's tricks? How can anyone catch anybody's tricks? Fulfilling these two conditions, you're fulfilling them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the sight of the people, we can trick everybody. Who can see in your heart and tell you you're sincere? Nobody. A lot of times, when that sincerity is coming from you so strong, that dedication and that hard work is coming from you so strong, who can see you ain't qualified? Who can see you ain't competent? They just see, mashallah. You see that brother, Akhi? It's like sincerity is written on his face. You can get over on the people. Yeah, we can get over on each other. But this religion of Islam is about meeting Allah. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left us alone to deal with one another and has given us guidance, the finest guidance, as to deal with one another. But we still can get over. But when it comes to meeting Allah, just like he tells us, whoever desires to meet Allah, let him do righteous deeds and don't ascribe anyone as partners in worship to his Lord. That's what it's all about. That's the reminder that we want to remind ourselves about and what we wanted to remind you about. That we got to keep those two conditions in front of our eyes all the time. In worship, in statement, in belief, and in practice of our daily lives. We got to keep it in front of us. If we don't, there's nobody who can check us. Maybe. And maybe not too. Sometimes you get busted.
not haqqan.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
has made some people to check other people. You just get caught out there.
The brother is highly qualified. He can bust the knees with him.
Allah can expose you. Allah can expose you even in the confinement of your own house.
And I wish I could remember the exact hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but hopefully we get across the meaning of this authentic hadith.
That whoever exposes the fault of his brother, and you just trying to go around, lie behind the brothers, see what's up with everybody.
Yeah, he's doing that, he's doing this, he's doing that.
Anytime something go down, that brother I know, he be doing such and such, that's why I'm on such and such a street. That brother, he do this brother do that. Whoever exposes their brothers, Allah will expose him even from being in the confinement of his own house. He can hide from everybody. But if Allah exposes you, you expose. If Allah bring your case to be known, ain't no running. Where you gonna run from Lord of all the world? Where you gonna run? Just like the disbelieving people on Yom Kippur. They see it. Oh man, the Muslims are calling me to the truth. That was it. I should have did it. Oh man, let me get out of here. Where you gonna run? Where you gonna go? Same thing now. If Allah exposes us, where you going? Out of town. To another community. If Allah exposes you, you finished. You can be sincere, hardworking, dedicated, but you don't have that competency with you. You can fool the people who Allah can expose you. You can fool the people who Allah can expose you. We just want to keep reminding and keep saying it and saying it that these two conditions, we got to keep them in our eyesight. Of course, that sincerity lays a strong part. And Allah is always calling us to that sincerity. Because it's real important and it can get you that serious reward. Just as the Prophet ﷺ was explaining, whoever intends to do a good deed but doesn't do it, gets rewarded. That intention is for real. And you gotta have it. And it's harder than that being in accordance. It's harder than being in accordance. And this is why we gotta make sure that we get that done. If you look at the Salat of the brothers, maybe Alhamdulillah Allah has blessed us to be able to read a book like Typical Salat by Al-Bani. Whatever they translated to, the Salat of the Prophet by Muhammad Nasir bin al-Bani. When you look at it, you can see the outward appearance of the Salat. And you look at the brother, the MashaAllah, brother Salat is Hamas. He got it down to a key. You don't know what he's thinking about. You don't know what's in his heart. You don't know if that sincerity there. That's for the brother. For yourself, you know it ain't there. How many times we stand up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We got it down. Allahu Akbar. Hands right on time. Allahu Akbar. Everything right in place. Going down. We know that sincerity ain't always there. We know it. Whatever somebody else know or don't know, we know. How many times we stood up, it wasn't there. Something else was on our mind. That sincerity is hard. And we gotta work on it. And we gotta keep on working on it. It's important. And if you get it, and Alhamdulillah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed people with that sincerity. If you get it, you're good. Because getting that accordance, getting that competency, it's an easier thing. But that sincerity is important. But you still can't have one without the other. You still can't have one without the other. You gotta focus on that sincerity because it's harder. But you still can't just have that and think you're over. It still has to be in accordance.
And when it's easy to get that being in accordance over with, you can't overlook that sincerity, because you gotta have it. And if we just look at our lives and the lives of the Muslims, we see that a lot of times we're accusing each other of not having the other part, one of those two conditions that need to be fulfilled. I remember, you know, that when we were studying, everyone used to tell me, you see those brothers from the Jamaat al-Tabliq, but like we say in English, the Tabliqi Jamaat, that those brothers are sincere, but they ain't got no knowledge. I remember questioning, how you know they ain't got no knowledge? You can tell. I told them, okay, how you know they sincere? You say they don't got that, but they got that. How you know they sincere? You can look at them when they making their salah. I told them, how you know he making his salah? Maybe he don't even know what he's saying. Gotta say it in Arabic. If he don't stay on it, he don't know what he's saying. How he sincere saying what he don't know what he's saying? You don't even know what you're doing. You don't know what you're saying, but you sincere. How you sincere? Where your sincerity at? Other people, they were there, they were accusing the brothers. Those brothers, they got it down. They aren't. They ain't got no sincerity. How you know they got it down? They was referring to the brothers that they used to call Wahhabi. They on it, but they ain't got no sincerity. How you know they on it? Look at them. How you know they ain't sincere? And if you were trying to put the people on the spot to make them prove that the people got one without the other, it's hard to prove. And this is why I was saying that people can get over on people. Because if someone has one without the other, it's hard to determine does a person have one without having the other, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just decides to expose you. If Allah exposes you, you finished. If Allah exposes you, you finished. We used to have, and I guess we still have, some of these movements in the States where people claim to put us on Islam. People have come to put us on Islam with African Americans of America, the gullible former slaves. Let's come teach them the religion of Islam. When they came and taught us the religion of Islam, many people fought and died for what we consider to be in accordance to Islam. Until Allah exposed those people, that what you brought them wasn't no Islam. Not A to Z. All of it was off. People died and fought for what we thought was in accordance to Islam. Allah just exposed them. Bam, you exposed. You a liar. You a false prophet. And everything you teaching ain't in accordance with the religion of Islam. We're not talking on the issue of sincerity. We're just talking about being in accordance. We thought it was in accordance. Allah exposed them. Maybe if Allah didn't expose them, how many people following a false prophet can realize he a false prophet? How many people following him can realize that I ain't on Islam? You never heard the word Islam. You never heard the word Allah. You never heard the word Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except from a group of people. How in the world can you know that that which they bought you, that no one else has heard about, isn't what they say it is? Unless Allah exposed you. And alhamdulillah, Allah has exposed that liar, Elijah. May Allah give him just what he deserves.
Amen.
Sometimes people come to us with a type of sincerity. You know, good brother, kind, generous, the whole nine yards the same. I don't care what that brother, whatever shortcomings he got, he's sincere. Look at him. See how dedicated he is? You see how hardworking he is? You see this? You see that? You see this? So Allah just exposed you. Just exposed you. I don't want to make any examples on this one directly. But everyone can look at whatever he has seen on this side. Just look like the epitome of sincerity until Allah just exposes him, make him stand in front of the people. Nah, I ain't sincere. Getting them niggas, rallying them up, get the money and roll. Get the money and roll. Well, why, they crazy people done got millions of dollars. Sincere. They ain't just sincere, not just sincere. Everybody agrees. That brother ain't nobody among us as sincere, as hardworking, as dedicated to the Islam and us like that brother right there. Give him the money. Drop the money in his hand. He's looking at 20 years. Cocaine. Cocaine. How in the world can the most sincere brother among us be looking at time in jail? I'm just making an example of. I'm not being factual or actual. He's looking at all of these years, he's supposed to be the most sincere. Allah just exposed that sincerity. Because Allah can do that. All the time we can't see it. It ain't on us. We can't see it. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just expose you. Make it clear to everybody involved. That brother who got the money for, who we gave all our money to. Just wasn't really there. Phone conversations overheard. He slipped. The microphone was still on, but it was turned off. Damn, you're exposed, man. Yeah, you know. If it wasn't that they was paying me tonight, I would have never came out, y'all. You know, you gotta feed that family. Shoot. I was just trying to tell them anything, you know. Gotta wait it sometime. You ain't turned the mic off? Goodness, a lot of exposure. Brother, can you turn that mic off? She slipped his mind. Family kept going. Nobody's left. Allah just exposed you. Everybody outside, a whole Muslim and a brother, I'm telling everybody. The mic's still on. When we walk out, we see it. Walk outside, Allah done exposed you. Anyway, this is a serious issue of sincerity. And it's real important in Islam. And we gotta make sure this heart that we have has that sincerity. And this is what our class is, the purification of the soul, is all about. Getting that heart sincere. Purifying. Making sure that what comes out of it, what stems from it, is good and wholesome and that which pleases Allah. Like the Prophet ﷺ tells us in that hadith, that the meaning of it at the end, there is a piece of heart in the flesh. There's a piece of flesh in the heart. If it's good and righteous and pure, then the rest of the body will be that way. And if it's corrupt and criminal, and the rest of the body will be like that. Isn't it a heart? No.
A lot of times when you're talking about sincerity and confidence, and you have individual two-time attempts to take on a job, and there's no one else coming forth to maybe to execute that particular job or responsibility. And the person out there sincere to knowing that he's been confident, but he knows a little bit about it, but he doesn't know what he should know about it. Where does that leave that individual?
The brother is asking, and I can feel a little detail trying to creep into the situation here. Suppose a brother is sincere, but he knows he's lacking in the competence, but no one else is stepping forth, or no one else has the ability to do that, might as well, bismillah. What else are we going to do? I don't want to get into any details. This is Islam. We got to fulfill those two conditions. Nobody's situation going to change Islam. Nobody's situation going to change Islam. Abu Muslima asked me a question. I don't know. You don't know? I don't know. Push me till I give him something. Mm-hmm. Tell me the question another way. I don't know, Aki. Another way. I don't know, Aki. Another way. I don't know, Aki. Man, he gone. It's just like they came to Imam Malik, rahimahullah, with about 40 questions. Imam Malik ibn Anas, Abu Abdillah, rahimahullah, the Imam of Al-Madinah, the city of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was considered the most knowledgeable person on the face of the earth during his time, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. May the mercy of Allah be on Imam Malik. They came all the way on horseback or whatever, walking from Iraq area, I think it is, to Medina. We're going to see, and these are scholars doing the travel, we're going to see the most knowledgeable man on the face of the earth drop these high-power questions we got. They dropped the 40 questions on him. He only answered about four. For the rest, they say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. We done searched the world over. You the most knowledgeable one. If you can't do it, nobody can do it. If you don't do it, ain't nobody more knowledgeable than you to do it. What did Imam Malik do after he was told with that?
Let him go.
I ain't competent. That's it. The world ain't gonna stop. It ain't going to be over with because your questions don't be answered. It ain't over with. If you ain't confident, it ain't over with. It ain't over with yet. I don't know. I don't know. So Allah makes a way for you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And listen what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, knowing we'd be faced with situations like this. And whoever fears Allah, Allah will make a way out for him. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make a way out for him. When we ain't got what it takes, we ain't got to fake the funk. Allah got this. Allah said, whoever fears Allah, he'll make a way. Allah will make a way for us if we fear Allah. When we getting all jammed up and we don't see no solution, we need to just go back to that heart. Is it right? Is it pure? Do it got taqwa in it? If so, Allah is going to do his part. Has anybody known Allah for that? Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make a way out for him. One of the sisters is questioning, how do we change our intentions to make sure that our deeds are for Allah only? Some of the salaf in the front correct, I think it's Imam al-Awza'i, rahimahullah. I think that he was among those who said, when we first sought out to seek the knowledge of his deen, our intentions weren't there. We were young, just trying to get it. When it started coming to us, and we saw what we were getting, we began to change our intentions. We began to purify our intentions to make them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we knew the importance of it. So to this question, how do we change our intentions to make sure that our deeds are for Allah only? We try to learn this deen properly. We try to learn what pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and the importance of it. And then our niyyah, inshallah ta'ala, can change accordingly. If somebody reminds you to be sincere and you feel it that you're not, then if you are, you change. That reminder benefits the believers. If you believe, when that reminder comes, man, it would have changed. Okay? When you line up in salah, you're not supposed to be crooked, you're supposed to be straight. Really? Bam, you're straight. Akhi, you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. He changes. His intentions go from one thing to the next thing. It was like me, you know. And I hope this doesn't incriminate me. When I went to Medina, my intentions were one purpose. I was going to school for business. I graduated. Nothing was more beloved to me than that almighty God. However, I was new in Islam. You got all of these people jumping off the boat. And I'm not trying to use this in a derogatory sense. Coming to America, they're going to tell us, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. Here I am, a grown man. But because I'm new, I got to be subject to anybody say do, don't do, I got to do. I said, we're going to shut some people up, inshallah, God. Go get this thing, come back, bust them out while I'm getting that done. Getting paid, busting them out on the side. What you talking about, Aki? I don't know what you think because you was born in Islam. I'll tell you something, Sinai. Put you back on that boat, send you back where you belong. And if you need a ticket, I'll pay for it. Because I got the money, too. And everybody has, you know, his own intentions, good or bad. And I don't think that, you know, those intentions were crazy. I mean, maybe people still have them. Why you come to the lesson? Come bust the brother out that can't make it. You act like you don't know what's happening. Bring up an issue. Never heard of that, Aki?
Oh, man.
Man. Brother don't even know that, man. Everybody know that. Man, huh? Everybody know that, Haji Saki? Where you been? Bust some brothers out. For that person is the fire, is the fire. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in authentic hadith. I don't remember the exact wording right now, but part of it is the person who seeks knowledge to dazzle the people. To be the man in that gathering. To make the people who don't have knowledge look stupid. For him is the fire, the fire. The fire, the fire. Anyway, when I began to learn a little more, I started to see the importance of this ayah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. Oh, you who believe, save yourself and your family from the fire. Now, when you start seeing the reality of you gotta stand by yourself, barefoot, naked, uncircumcised, the sun coming down getting hotter and hotter, you gonna walk across that bridge, sharp as a razor. The only way you're going to get across is the deeds that you have. Hooks over there waiting to slam you down in the fire underneath it. Then you'd be thinking about Yeah, I can bust the mountain, you know, but first I better get me, make sure I'm cool. You know? Make sure on that day, I'm going to be taken care of. Naked. Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala, naked, ya Rasulullah, men and women? Aisha is greater than that. Naked. You ain't going to be worrying about, that's how she looks? You going to be worrying about what you did. Will it get you over there, across that bridge? Or are those hooks right there going to snatch you and throw you into the hellfire? When that becomes a reality to you, if your intentions don't change, what's going to change? Yeah, if that don't change them, I don't know what will. At any rate, when we started seeing the reality of the situation, that Allah created us and guided us to Islam, to worship Him, to give us life, to prepare ourselves for that day, we just started changing for that. So how do we change our intentions to make sure that our deeds are for Allah only? The more you learn of this being of Islam, and the more you practice of Islam, the more you begin to see the reality of this being, the more you're able to change your intentions to being solely and sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we say, and we believe, iman or faith increases with good deeds and decreases with bad deeds. You want your iman to get stronger, you got to do those good deeds. And you got to keep doing them and doing them and doing them so that the iman can get stronger and stronger and stronger. That's the way of the believer. The way of some people that have fooled themselves. May Allah save us from fooling ourselves. You try to call the brother to Islam. He say, I see, you know, I can't shake that drug. I can't shake that fornication. I can't shake that such and such and such and such from among the sins. When I shake them, I'm going to take my shahada. When you shake them, you ain't got no faith. You ain't got no iman on your side. What kind of kufr and disbelief and sinning you shaking with no iman? What is the thing that protects us from the shaitan? Iman. Iman. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah has been given the shaitan away over his believers. You got the belief on your side. It's strong. You can shake him. Shaitan try to creep into your house in the form of a television set. And don't think it don't got the shaitan on it. Wallahi. Wabillahi. Watallahi. He got the shaitan, that's all. And I ain't letting him in my house. And may Allah keep me strong enough to keep him out of my house. And wallahi is no. Tellahi is the same meaning. And wabillahi is the same meaning. And I got these three forms for my sheikh, rahimahullah, my khalaka, when he used to really want to swear by Allah. Wallahi, tellahi, wabillahi. That TV set got the shape. He creep in your house? You do like the brother taught me. Muhammad al-Qatlani, rahimahullah. Muhammad from Scotland. He went to school with us in Medina. He said the shaitan slipped in there mistakenly. You bought it. Your iman wasn't strong enough. Your knowledge of the deen wasn't big enough to keep that devil out. Just how you get him out. Go to the window, open it up. Pick it up and drop it out. Boom. Crush. Finish. I remember I had that TV. That's a big one, huh? I paid 800 me out. At least get it 400, 100. Oh. When you get that in your mind, you do it. Anyway, from the time he said that, it was a reminder. I started feeling bad, and bad, and bad. Studying more, trying to increase some good deeds. So the time come, we're finished. Wife, children, everybody crying. Yeah, it sounds funny out here. How you gonna be crying over the sheep, huh?
That's trouble, I'll take them out.
When that iman is increased from gaining the knowledge of this being and doing those good deeds, you get rid of them. Wasn't no burden. You couldn't do it fast enough. It wasn't hard. You couldn't find nothing easier enough. You couldn't get rid of it fast enough. It's because of that iman. You ain't got no iman, what you gonna change? I hate shaving the beard of Haram. The Prophet ﷺ commanded us to grow the beard.
Grow the beard? You don't know what type of profession I'm in. You don't.
Allah, you better speak to Yahweh. That's between you and Allah. When we stand in that gate, barefoot and uncircumcised, I ain't even going to be worrying about did you grow your beard enough or not. I know Abu Muslimah and his deficiencies. All Allah just saved me. And that's going to be the cry of the prophet. Allahumma sallim sallim. Nafsi, nafsi. If the prophet of Allah, when they were questioned, they talking about me. The prophet's question of me. You don't know what I did, Ya Rasulullah, but let me tell you. I'm worrying about me. You better go see Musa. I'm finished. Go see Musa. I'm finished. I'm trying to get me taken care of. You better go see such and such. That's how we're going to be on Yom Kiyamah. What's going to make us make these changes in this world is that iman. And we say on our tongues that it increases with good deeds. Let's make it a practice. It's a lot of good deeds that we learn. And whoever wants to learn more, he don't got to do nothing but pick up we all the song of him. Gardens of the Righteous. Two volumes of power-packed good deeds. You want to get the good deeds on your side? There it goes. One book. May Allah show his mercy on the one who wrote it. Get those good deeds. Start doing them, getting them on your side. Every sin is easy. Just like that. So one brother growing the beard may be everything in the world. I can't do it. And may Allah make it easy for the people to grow that beard. Other people, he can't even imagine. All you gotta do is don't use the razor every morning. It'll work. I mean, what could be easier than that? What could be easier than not burning yourself every morning with the cream and everything? It just grow by itself. You ain't got to water it or nothing. Just grow. He can't understand how hard it is on that brother to just leave the razor alone. Is that iman? When it's on the increase, it's easy. When it's on the decrease, it's hard. Anybody look at his life, look at the good deeds, look at the bad deeds, and look at doing the good deeds and leaving the bad deeds, all you gotta do is look at that iman. If it's up there, the good deeds are gonna be up there. And if it's down there, the bad deeds are gonna be up there. So we gotta work on learning this deed, learning how to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, in order that we can have that iman on the rise. And stay away from those things that will keep the iman decreasing. And inshallah ta'ala, part of the purification of the souls is one of the books that one of the scholars has written. One of the things that you can do specifically to increase your iman. And he chose 20 things from the Quran and the Sunnah that whoever does such and such, his iman increases. Oh Allah, we ask you to increase us in iman. We just want to wind up by saying that this religion is about sincerity. And everyone has to remind himself and constantly remind himself and check himself and check and check and check that that sincerity is in check. But he got to realize that it wasn't enough, isn't enough, and sincerity will never be enough by itself. But it has to be coupled with being in accordance with the religion of Allah, the religion that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last prophet and messenger to humanity, brought. In the deen specifically, and in more general terms, it has to be coupled with doing it, perfecting that thing, making sure we're competent, we're able, we have the ability to couple that sincerity and dedication and hard work so we can do something that will be acceptable in the sight of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, we ask you to increase our sincerity and to couple our sincerity with accordance, with being in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah, and perfection and competency and the worldly affairs. O Allah, we ask you for the good in this world and the good in the hereafter, and to save us from the hellfire. If there was any good in what we've heard today, from Allah, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. And my success is only by Allah. To Him, on Him I rely, and to Him I repent. And if there was any wrong in what I said, then it's from me. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. I also had to free myself from the blame, because the soul is inclined to do wrong except when my Lord shows mercy on it. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show His mercy on me and my family and on all of the Muslims. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. The brother is asking us, is it possible to mistake sincerity for arrogance or some other negative thing from Shaitan? Allah knows best, you know, to that issue. And all we can say is that the people before us used to question their sincerity. Question their sincerity so much so that it always kept them striving to be sincere. Like Omar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, he knew that at Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the one who the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi told him the name of the munafiqeen and the hypocrites, for lack of better term, the people who outwardly displayed Islam and inwardly hid Islam. The Prophet told that man, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, al-Faruq, the one that walked, that whatever way he walked, Shaitan went down the other path. The man that was that bad, the second Khalifa of the Muslims radiallahu anhu, he ran to Khalifa. Khalifa, am I one of them? Am I a munafiq? Umar radiallahu anhu, who advised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many instances, that Allah agreed with the advice of Omar radiallahu anhu and made it a ayah. O Messenger of Allah, on this Umrah, after we finish the Salah, let's make the Salah behind the Maqam Ibrahim. Allah revealed the verse. O Messenger of Allah, no, rather wisest of the Messenger of Allah, y'all better watch who y'all messing with. Y'all ain't gonna be telling his daughter Hafsa was married to the prophet.
You and the rest of y'all wives, y'all ain't going to be talking to the messenger of Allah like that. Allah will give him somebody better than y'all.
Allah revealed it to him. Revealed the verse. Y'all don't watch it? Allah will give him otherwise. With better descriptions than the people who dog him.
Omar felt uncomfortable visiting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I think it's in one of the narrations they were eating, and he made a mistake and touched one of the wives of the hand of one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or she was giving serving the.